So the Bible reading's Philippians 3, 12 to 21. So if you need to look that up on your phone, your gadget, your book, as IKEA would put it. So we're going to hear God's word from the Apostle Paul. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that the word spoken thousands of years ago to your people is relevant to us today. We pray that we can hear you speak to our hearts and our minds so that we may grow more and more to know you and to be like you. We pray this through Jesus. Amen. Well, what happens when Jesus lays hold of your life? Paul tells us in these verses in Philippians 3 that life changes from pursuing one way, that is life without Jesus, to pursuing Jesus and striving for the life Jesus has called you to. And when you look at Paul's life, he certainly strived for Jesus. He could be considered a spiritual athlete for Jesus. So Paul was determined to strive hard and run the race for his Redeemer. So today I want to look at this. I thought it would be a great way to think about 2017. I'm sure we may have had lots of New Year's resolutions. If you did, maybe thinking about what you're going to do this year and accomplish. Well, where did Jesus fit into that? Where did Jesus fit into your New Year's resolution? And as we read previously, as Kath read, during our gathering time, Paul teaches that Jesus is our righteousness. That in Jesus we have obtained a righteousness. Our world, our culture, it sort of offers its own form of righteousness. It tells you to pursue the ideal life, to pursue the pleasures and comforts of what that life will give you. And we are lured and to strive after cultures of righteousness. It presents a right way. And hence, your New Year's resolutions may have accompanied or had some of those things in it. And naturally, today, with the aid of the credit card and interest-free loans, we can have the life. We can have the so-called life, the right life our culture presents to us, the righteousness our culture presents. We can have it, yet that lifestyle comes to an end when bills come in and we're left feeling the despair and the hopelessness of a life we can no longer maintain. And facing the consequences of our poor decisions, we often left with debt that's beyond our ability to pay. And our rebellion with God is just like that. We start with a sin problem, a rebellion problem, and we keep adding more debts. And there's no way we can pay any of that debt back. We can't do anything to wipe the slate. And we feel the guilt and shame of the offences we've done with God, and we fall short. But with Jesus as our righteousness, we have no fear. We have no fear of the final statement, that guilt, that shame, the debt, the offences that would make us guilty before God have been wiped clean. even though now we're not perfect people, as Paul says it himself, although I'm not perfect, although I am not already perfect, we have no fear of God's judgment. Not guilty is written next to our names because of Jesus. Our debt of sin has been dealt with, taken to the cross. Now Jesus sits in authority over our lives, and he silenced Satan. I've been reading this great book called Silencing Satan, and there's so much, you know, weird stuff that happens in church, and this is just so practical. Jesus rules. Jesus rules. And in Philippians 3:12-21, Paul talks about the new life that's a result of Jesus. Jesus takes hold of our life that was heading one way and makes it his own. And as a result of Jesus making us his own, we live differently. We follow him. So today I want to look at 3 points that Paul brings to us in God's word. Firstly, that we are now striving and running the race towards Jesus. You know, we're heading the right direction. We head in a direction. And secondly, that we're now focused on our future hope rather than our past hardships. You know, so often in life we can focus too much on the past. But Paul doesn't do that here. And thirdly, that Jesus, that in Jesus we are growing ourselves, but also we're growing others as they see our lives, as they see our lives being growing and being maturing in Christ. So today, as you hear God's word being spoken to you, as you hear Jesus speak to you, I want you to think about 2 things that encourages and challenges you. And then after the message, you're going to find someone to partner up with, and you're going to talk and share one of those points. So that means if they've got the same point as you've got, you go to your second point and you say that point. Okay, 2 things to share with someone after. I've got to put a little board up. So think of 2 things today you learn from what Paul has spoken to you, or Jesus has spoken to you as Paul speaks. So firstly, Paul is striving and running his life for Jesus, to be like Jesus. Paul is striving for Jesus. Verse 14, he presses towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. You know, Paul was like this athlete. He's running for the prize. And it wasn't to win the prize, because he already had the prize. The prize had already been won through Jesus. Paul's mindset was that it's his heavenly prize. It's not of this world, not of this culture. What Paul was running towards couldn't be found here. Couldn't be found in the pursuit of life here, in that sense. Certainly many earthly pursuits are worthwhile and worthy. God has many worthy things we do. But Paul's running for the prize, which is Jesus, and his calling on his life in Christ, which is the greatest prize. And often there's a lot of opinions on people's callings and what the Bible has to say about this. But as you study the Bible, you'll discover that most of the time when it talks about calling, it is for those in Christ to be more like Christ. It's pretty simple. Often we're off asking God about what sort of career we want, what sort of career we should be, and God is calling us to be like Christ in whatever career we choose. Pretty simple. Our calling is to be like Christ wherever we are. That's our calling. That's Paul's calling. And so for Paul and us, our calling is to be continually transformed by Jesus. Jesus is calling our lives to know him more and more and more. And Paul's running the spiritual race because Jesus loved him all the way to the cross. Jesus is the prize that Paul has already received. If you're in Jesus, you have that prize. There's no bronze and silver. There's no second-class citizens. You have that prize. You have what Paul had in Jesus. It's both present and future. That's what Paul is saying to us. That's what Paul is thinking. And it's true for us today. We have it the same way. We have Jesus now, presently with us. We have the prize, and yet we have it future. It's now and then. But Paul's view was that he belonged to Jesus, and he wasn't going to take his striving for holiness as it'll work it out. It were to work out itself. You know, it'll just work out itself. He took striving and running the race seriously. He was determined to put effort into it, to never give up attitude. How often do we think of Christians, it's just too hard. It's just too hard. We have God's Spirit in us. We have his word. we can grow, just as Paul was growing. Paul strives, we can strive, because we have a great Saviour. Jesus lays hold of our lives just as he lays hold of Paul's. And it doesn't matter if you've stuffed up, doesn't matter if you have failures, Jesus makes you his own. Paul has that prize. Jesus is working in him, and he's running to lay hold of every opportunity to receive more and more of his Saviour. Striving more like him, being filled more with God's Spirit rather than quenching the Spirit. Knowing that one day he will obtain it fully. That he's not perfect now, but one day when Jesus returns, he will be. He's motivated to run the race. I press on to make it my own because Jesus has made me his own. It's a bit like the, you know, Jesus rescued us. He saved us. It's a bit like the life of a lifeguard grabbing us out of the drowning sea and rescuing us, turning our lives around. He's claimed us. He's claimed Paul. We belong to him. Paul belongs to him. Jesus called us to run the same way, to pursue holiness, righteousness, and his kingdom. The more and more we get to Jesus, the more and more we become like Jesus. You and I aren't called to be complacent in Jesus. We are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. And like Paul says, he's not already perfect. None of us here are perfect. But we press on to make Jesus our own. God works in us. You know, and before this, Paul was sort of hitting at the Jewish believers, the Jewish sort of Christian people in the time who believed that they'd already obtained it through the Mosaic Law, that they had this obedience that made them righteous, and they were self-confident. And sometimes we can be self-confident in just the fact that we know stuff, but there's no transformation, that we know a certain theology, that our theology is right, but what is it doing in our hearts? What is it doing in our lives? What is Jesus doing? And Paul makes it clear that all the things that he was as a Jew did not make him righteous. It was Jesus who made him righteous, who made him right before God. And he realized that he wouldn't be perfect while he still remained in this body, this flesh. But it didn't cause him to be hindered, didn't cause him to be complacent, and didn't cause him to take his calling in Christ lightly. And I think complacent Christianity creeps in very easily. You know, oh well, we sin. We're saved by grace. It's all okay. And certainly, we know we sin. We know we fall short of God's glory. Many times we stuff up. But it doesn't mean we just stay there. We need to run the race. We need to pick ourselves up, run to Jesus, our Saviour, being conformed to his image, like Paul. Have the Holy Spirit working in us on a daily basis and respond by striving with the Spirit to become more like Christ through reading his word, by knowing him more, pursuing and striving for Christ. Secondly, Paul focuses on the present and future rather than the past. So Paul continues to look at one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here Paul's writing as a prisoner. Think about that. He's a prisoner in jail because of the gospel, but he's not focused on the past. He's focused on the present and future. Paul's not thinking, maybe if I would have chosen this mission route, I wouldn't have ended up here. I wouldn't be a prisoner. No, Paul presses on, forgetting the past and moving in the present towards the future. He doesn't look back, but forward. And it's hard to do that sometimes in life. Sometimes we hold on to so much of our past. And sometimes, like, looking back at our past can help us deal with things, to grieve, but we don't live there. We don't live in our past failures. Paul certainly looked back at his past. He looked at his life. He's seen the things he'd done. He's seen the wrong things. He's seen the blessings of God. He's seen the salvation of God. But he didn't live there. He didn't live there. He didn't cancel out the past, whether negative or positive, but he didn't live there. He didn't let it hold him back for the future. The past didn't fuel him. Jesus fueled him. The prize that he had. Sometimes we're fueled just by the past. by hurt, by anger, by disappointment. But Paul was fueled by Jesus. He was fueled by the Holy Spirit to pursue Jesus more and more. We're never called to live in our past. Rather, we live for Jesus in the present with a future hope. So don't let the past fuel you. Don't let the past pull you down. There's nothing you can do to change it. Don't let the devil cause you to stall and cease from striving. See God's sovereign hand in it. Know that God is at work in the good and the bad. As Romans 8 tells us, that all things work for the good of those who love God. Sometimes you think, you know, you hear about churches that often, they often talk about the past. You know, talk about, you know, 10 years ago we had a thriving ministry. You know, Paul doesn't want us to speak like that as well. You know, it's about now. What are we striving for now as a church? What are we striving for now as a follower of Jesus? The present towards the future. We look forward. Paul didn't let the past hold him back. Paul was a spiritual athlete for Jesus because he knew Jesus loved him and pursued him. That's the thing. Jesus had laid hold of him. It stirred him up. Now think about the God of the universe coming down, dying on a cross for you, doing everything possible for you, should stir you up as Paul was stirred. Paul lived in the present world just like you and me, but he had a future hope. Many times he experienced hard conditions. He rented houses. He was imprisoned. He had no food, but he kept striving. Paul figured out what was important. He knew who Jesus was. Paul eagerly throws himself under Jesus as Lord and runs the race. Now this leads us to our third point, and third and final point, that striving produces maturity and growth. Verses 15 to 17, let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what you have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. You see, Paul sees maturity as a natural result of a life that strives for Jesus, to know Jesus more and more. The knowledge and experience of Jesus leads to growth. We mature and become more like Jesus. This also leads to other people growing. Other people see us mature, and they want to run the race. They want to stay fit. And maturity isn't simply, like I said, knowing things about Jesus. It's having that information transformed into transformation. And you see, Paul was talking to these Philippians, these mature Christians. Who were these people? These were people who saw Paul's life, who knew Jesus and imitated Jesus and Paul. And like them, we can strive too for this. We can be those people that other people see in us, Christ. The unbeliever sees Christ. Our brothers and sisters see Christ. We're all striving. It says even those who aren't striving will be convicted. Brothers, and we can add sisters here, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have. In verse 15 also it says that those who don't know this will be convicted by God, that they need to mature, they need to grow. It's personal, it's about us following Jesus, but it involves a community. Everywhere in the Bible is involving the community. We need to be learning from each other, imitating others. Maturity involves a community. It can't be done in isolation. I want you to stop and think, as you've heard God's word today and as you've heard Jesus speak to you, I want you to think about the fact that if you were to receive today a $20,000 gift card to Westfield Shopping Centre, like you can spend anything, $20,000 at the shopping centre, I want you to think, what would you think about having that card in your wallet You know, if you had it today, what would Monday look like for you? What would this afternoon look like for you? If you had a $20,000 gift card, would you be tonight or tomorrow night on the internet checking out the shops, seeing what shops are at Westfield? Maybe Tuesday night making a list of everything you want to buy at these shops? And then Wednesday, maybe messaging a friend on Facebook or something and saying, hey, I've got this $20,000 gift voucher. No, you wouldn't do that. $20,000, not very generous.
It's already gone, mate.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. But you've got to, okay, go Monday. Everyone's got to work. Hey?
Sorry.
You've got...
You've got a voucher.
You
wouldn't
okay. You're just ruining my sermon here now, come on. That's right. But you see, with us in Christ, we have the voucher. You know, we have it, it's worth more than 20,000, by the way. But we have the voucher, we're redeemed from sin and judgment. We're restored back to God through Christ. We're reconciled into a loving family of God, and we're transformed by His Holy Spirit to be more like Jesus. We belong to a new family through Christ. We have it. We have it. And yet, I wonder if thinking about that voucher, how reactive you would be to knowing you've got Christ. I mean, think about tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. You know, thinking about all the nights you would have been sitting there thinking about planning out what you're going to buy. And think about Monday night, do you have the time to strive to know Jesus more through His Word? You know, Tuesday night, do you have the time to pray and go through a devotion through the Word? Wednesday night, do you have time to listen to a sermon or read a good book? Or Friday night, study one-to-one with a friend? You know, we'd certainly have the time to race down to Melbourne to spend $20,000 in a shop. Yet we have Jesus. And Jesus calls us to know Him more and more. Paul wanted to strive to know Him more and more. And you see, we have the time to know Jesus more and more. We should have the motivation, but maybe we think that other things in life are more important. You know, we get busy and things distract us. Our culture distracts us. It says to us, this is important. Listen to me. But Jesus says, I am greater. Listen to me. Jesus keeps speaking to us through His Word. Maybe you don't know Jesus today. Maybe you have never followed Jesus. Doesn't Jesus give you more than you realize? The eternal kingdom brings eternal life with God. And it starts when we put our trust in Him, when we come under His kingship, when we turn to repentance and faith in Him. But what about your life who do know Jesus? Does your life live for Jesus? Are you striving for Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus more and more? And are you actually taking hold of Jesus and doing that? To know Him more and more. As that song says, less of me and more of you. Knowing that He is the one that transforms us. And by knowing Him more, by striving, we can be matured. We can grow. See, Jesus didn't save us just to be a complacent or idle in His family. Jesus doesn't want us to hold on to our past but move towards the future hope, but still with the reality of our present situation. He wants us to grow our salvation and know who we are in Him. Grow towards taking hold of the righteousness that is ours in Christ. Are you striving in your life to know Jesus more and more? Is your life transformed more and more? Do people see that in you? Do people say, gee, I'd love to imitate you. I'd love to imitate your maturity because in you I see Jesus. Those who really know you. Because we can all put on an act. But those close. What is Jesus saying to you right now? Because Because Jesus wants your life to imitate his, so that others will see Christ in you and they will mature. Jesus called us to be disciples, not complacent people. Jesus called us to strive towards him as the one who takes hold of our lives, the one who we can fully trust and who gives us eternal hope. Let's start praying. Now, Father, thank you that it's good to know you. That it's good to bring our lives under you. As we know you more, as we strive to know you more, Lord, we grow. We grow because that's the natural result of having your Spirit in us. Lord, help us to not quench the Spirit within us that you give us. Help us, Holy Spirit, not to stop your work in our lives, but help us to fuel it with the Word, that we may know Christ more. Help us to live lives that show others Christ. So within a community, we can clearly have people who we can imitate. We thank you, Lord, that even when we stuff up, we can come to you and that you deal with our past and you call us and pick us up to help us strive for the future. Thank you, Lord, that you're graceful, that you never sit there and speak words of condemnation, but you lift us up and call us to grow in you. Help us to do this, we pray, through Christ our Saviour. Amen.